fumble along a little bit because it usually tells me I'm live, and I do believe that I'm live. So assuming that I am live, welcome, 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 everybody. This is my third night in a row of doing amazing interviews for the upcoming Take Charge Challenge. Tonight, I am extremely excited to have with me. Yeah, see, you know, she's excited too. This is the Dr. J. I call her Dr. J. Arsberger, but Dr. J is way easier to say. So we say Dr. J. And I am incredibly excited to have her with me tonight because we're going to focus on purpose. So living a life of purpose, passion, and prosperity. I practiced that. I got it wrong a couple times, but I've got it right now. But we have an opportunity tonight for Dr. J to share with us some really awesome insights that will help us to live with purpose. So welcome, Dr. J, and thank you for joining me and my crew on a lovely, slightly smoky, depending on where you are, very smoky Thursday evening.
It is very smoky here, so I will be drinking lots of water in between speaking. Thank you for having me, Rebecca.
Yeah, I didn't bring any water, so I'm just gonna sit here and just quietly choke. Anyway, so... So if you see me just like talk amongst yourselves, you know,
I'll try to pick up the pace for you. I got your back.
Exactly. So Dr. J, why don't you just give us a sense of where you came to understand that living with purpose was so important? Like, was something missing? Like, I came across it in sort of my own way, and I'll share my story later, but it's not about me, it's about you. So tell me a little bit more about your story and kind of how, because I know you've been like, you've got the doctor in front of your name. I know you're like a super awesome, driven career woman. Where did it come from, that purpose piece?
So for me, it was when I went to college, I really had no idea what I wanted to be when I grew up. And I've now decided just don't grow up. But back then I thought you had to grow up and I had to figure that out. So I knew I was good at math. I thought, oh, maybe I could be a CPA for the CIA. It just had a ring to it. It sounded really cool. I had no idea what that meant. I got into accounting courses and realized, wow, this is so not me. The first ledger, lots of fun. I was like, yes, I got it right. I loved that. The second, third, fourth, I was like, I can't picture myself doing this every single day, right? And then I didn't really know, though, what else to do. So luckily, everyone else was meandering around the university as well, going to frat parties, hanging out at the lawn, which we called the mall. And I fell in love with a course on child development and neuroscience, immediately changed my major, and decided to throw away all money and focus on being a teacher. And ever since, my career has been filled with so much adventure and achievement. I've now taught ECE through PhD students. I founded downtown Denver's first elementary school. I led a statewide innovation grant that allowed me to help other educators nurture their development across the state of Colorado. Being innovative as a state allowed me to go and advise the White House and Gates Foundation and do all kinds of really cool things. Cool. And I worked myself into the hospital. My days were filled with give, give, give. And at the end of the day, there was literally one night I came home and fed my daughter Skittles just so that I could have one more meeting before dinner. And I thought, this has to stop. Like, I have nothing left at the end of my days for the ones that I loved the most. Mm-hmm. I was also starting to go broke doing what I loved and was living a world of scarcity and depletion and realized something had to change. So for me, that was really where I knew my purpose in terms of using education to provide people with knowledge so that they could up-level their success. Mm-hmm. Yet I was doing it at the expense of the rest of my life.
That's really interesting because, you know, like there's a lot of rhetoric out there. You know, I've got, you know, five young kids myself, and there's a lot of rhetoric of do what you love. And that mm-hmm. seems so wonderful and holistic and beautiful. But like you said, if it doesn't sustain you, mm-hmm. then, you know, then you've got a bit of a problem because then you kind of, you cease to be able to be really impactful. So, again, I'm really excited to hear sort of like part two of what you're going to say of like, how you turn this around, because it sounded like for all intents and purposes, like you sounded like you were living with purpose and passion and doing what you loved. And then yet you have this other piece where you're feeding your kids Skittles. And I can completely appreciate that because one of my dinners was goldfish, right? So same thing, you know, you're just busting your ass to like get things out and get things done and stay on top. But you're right. So at some point, the really important stuff starts to really be affected negatively. So what happened next? Tell me.
Well,
next.
And money matters too, right? My first year of teaching, I was in the dot-com boom in Silicon Valley. And long story short, ended up living in my car for 2 weeks because you could not find places to live. And it was so, to go from that to literally 4 years ago, I built my dream house. And at the design center was like, oh, I shouldn't get those wood floors. They're too expensive. And the woman said, just design, build the house of your dreams and we'll take away later. And I didn't have to take anything away. I actually got to even add some fancy tile to the guest bathroom. And I was so darn excited. I was like, you mean I could do everything I want and some more?
Oh,
and
let's
put in the hot tub and flagstone patio. I mean, it was like a 180. And a lot of it was when I quit getting out of my own scarcity mindset. So one of the things that's mission critical for me is what I call a moving trains mindset. And I'm going to save that for the training because that is something that shifting your mindset, you'll see there's lots of research on the topic of mindset. And for me, mm-hmm. being a moving train and keeping a commitment to that helped me differentiate myself. So I was no longer just a teacher. And I say that with the utmost respect because we all grew through teachers. Yep. I was a teacher for over 10 years and still that's the best years of my life were spent teaching. Mm-hmm. However, I couldn't sustain myself on that. I needed to make more money. I'm a single mother. Mm-hmm. And so I assume full responsibility for the financial well-being of my household. So in a lot of ways, I'm the man of the house, the woman of the house, the maid of the house, the chef of the house, the landscaper of the house, like you name it.
A contractor. What else can we say? Yes.
And so I think this notion of shifting to having enough energy, energy management became huge for me when I first learned, oh my gosh, it's not, I don't need to eat enchiladas because I love the taste of them. I need to drink my green smoothies in the morning, not because I love the taste of them, but because, wow, I am fired up with so much energy that my body can get through the day faster. I get more done by 11 a.m. than most people do in their entire 9 to 5. And that leaves me with a lot of time to play and do things that I never was able to do before. Myself always came last, and learning to put myself first was huge.
Mm-hmm. You know, and it's interesting, you know, as a, if you're going to split the genders and say, you know, which one does it more, most women will put themselves like last. And there's a super awesome book called The Female Brain, which explains why that happens, right? There's a literally a biological, neurological way about how ladies are put together that just sort of is more of our tendency than our male counterparts. It's not one good, bad, it's just kind of the way we're wired. And yet that is such a prevalent thing. Like I get that with a lot of my clients, you know, like everyone comes first, you know, I come last. And then without the understanding that if you come last, then you actually can't take care of everybody else. And then things really start to fall apart. So what is it? Do you have like a phrase that you use right now? I know like the whole title of this thing is, you know, live with passion, purpose and prosperity. There's all three P's. There's like, they're going to get the three P's. I've got those.
Took me a long time to figure out how to make alliteration part of the.
Yeah. Apparently my brain's still working on remembering everything, including.
I'm like, it's 7 PM your time. I think knowing the speed that you go through your day too, it's good. Ready for a break.
Yeah. It's been a pretty crazy day. Gotta tell you. But, so what kind of is a mantra that guides your life? And I'll just sort of preempt it with sort of like when I went through this whole process, myself. So I have two companies, one of which officially wraps up at the end of this month. And I'm really excited about that. So I can focus 100% on my coaching practice, but I've had two going. But for the past 7 years, I've run my ad agency, digital marketing agency, right? Running ads and emails and all that kind of stuff for people. And, you know, it was nearly $1 million a year and I should have been happy. I had everything, money in the bank, a beautiful home, a lovely husband, wonderful kids, nice car, blah, blah, blah. And yet I felt that there was something ultimately missing. And I remember sitting on the couch downstairs talking to my husband. You're just watching TV. And I'm like, I feel like there's just a black cloud and it's hung out here for so long, so that no matter how successful I am, no matter how many wonderful things come my way, I always feel that there's something missing and I don't know what it is. And so that's when I started reading books like Millionaire Success Habits. That's when I got introduced to Brendan's book, High Performance Habits. So that kicked off a whole bunch of new thoughts for me going, wait a second, there's nothing wrong with me. There's something wrong with the way I'm going about my life. So if I can use all my talents and harness them in a different way, like, oh my God, right? And that's when I decided to get certified as a high performance coach and really build up that part. And the difference between my agency and the coaching practice was that purpose. And so what I defined for myself for the coaching practice that I do is there's three things I need to check off at the end of every day. Did I make someone feel happier? Did I make someone feel wealthier? And did I make someone feel more fulfilled? Because those three things were missing. And I mean, again, wealth to me is not defined by the money in the bank. It really helps. Like, let's not cut corners there. Like, it solves 95% of our problems. But at a certain stage, like once you hit there, you're going to miss that 5-10% at the end. And you're always going to feel that there's just a gap. And so if you're just chasing the 2-comma club, if you're just chasing after money in the bank and you're counting, you know, butts and seats and stuff like that, there'll always be something missing. So now what I do is I can focus on, you know, really driving amazing impact for people, like truly life-changing stuff, knowing that when I do that, the money comes. It's like the impact over income equation that most people, including myself, have flipped. We focus on income first, and then we just kind of hope something good happens to somebody that we're serving. They'll figure it out, right? But in my case, they weren't figuring it out. And so and it was really hard because I was very focused on money. And I was also a single mom, and I'm not now, but I still have that mindset of like, it's the hunger, it's still there. And so when I flipped over to, and I would have to sit at my desk going, okay, because, you know, new businesses are slow to start. It's just impact over income, Rebecca, deliver really good service and it's going to happen. And I would talk myself off of like 18 ledges a day, you know, of nope. It's just impact over income, focus on doing really great things for people and the income will come. And that's exactly what's happened. So that's a little bit of sort of how I came to, you know, build up my purpose statement that guides not only who I am and how I interact with people, but what I say yes to and what I say no to. And it's that piece has driven me to close down the agency, to take care of all my clients. Everyone's been taken care of. Everyone on my team is still gainfully employed because they're all contractors. So I actually took the clients and gave them straight to my team. Or if there was a bigger project, I would find another person that could take my whole team intact and then just adopt them under a different shell. So I feel really, really good about it. Because I really feel like to the best of my abilities, I've taken care of everybody. So it makes me feel good to launch into my coaching practice. So that's my sort of how I came to my purpose statement and what my purpose statement is. What's yours?
For me, it was about, so I reversed mine, right? I went with purpose first and then was like, shoot, I have to pay attention to money. And so finally figured that out. But mine was that let me live with generosity and grace, right? That I really, I'm very critical of myself. So practicing grace is very important for me. I always tell myself, know when to be fierce with yourself and when to be gentle. There are times when it is like, let's get fierce. And I love that. One of my dearest friends calls it my beast mode. And I love being in beast mode, yet there's times when I really have to practice grace and recognize, you know, maybe it's something new that I don't know, that I have to fail fast and fail forward. And I don't really like failure. I haven't had a lot of it in my life. And failure and I are just not good friends. I don't like him.
And so I'm really good friends with failure. Give myself
grace so that I can fail. And to give others grace as well, like learning that when someone has let me down, that I can offer and extend grace, but also to be generous, similar to your impact over income, is when we're generous with our time and can serve and support others. I mean, as I came to certified high performance coaching for very similar reason, right? I fell in love with the research on high performance and was like, I want to help. I train leaders across the globe. And I was like, I want all of our leaders to have these tools in their hand. And I just passionately went down that path. I also tell myself a lot, let me inspire and influence today. Like I really feel like we do a lot more when people are lifting us up. And I love being that cheerleader beside my clients saying, you've got this, you can do this. And, and seeing them achieve faster, I think that's part of it too, right? So one of the things that I'll be talking about during the Take Charge Challenge is the great eight dimensions of your life and how you can think beyond the unidimensionality of your career, how you can, and then all of the tools and strategies to shorten the distance between where you are now and your dreams, right? There's things that create distance between our dreams and our current reality. And I want for everyone to wake up, live vibrant, live happy, and be outside of the box, right? So I want to share that secret sauce with others. And in my session, I'll be walking you through each of the dimensions. I'll also support you in crafting your legacy statement, a statement that will reveal the brilliance within you. And I'll provide you with some of the strategies that I use to continue to rise while living a joy-filled, personally meaningful life. I think that is, for me, what if I had a wish for everyone on planet Earth, it would be that we all could live a joy-filled, personally meaningful life.
Yeah, no, amen to that. And to your comment about failure, if ever you want to get better friends with failure, let me know. I'm a really good friend. We're like, we text each other all the time. Yeah, I fail on a regular basis. I just decided to call it testing because it's way more fun.
It's like I love that. Yes. testing. 1, 2, 3. Just
information. That's all it is. It's like, I have a client of mine who really, you know, every week I'd say like, all right, did you get into time blocking, you know, trying to get, you know, manage the time a little bit better. No, didn't do it. You know, the next week I'm like, all right, dude, like, seriously, like you said, you were going to do it and you didn't do it again. Like, what's up? And what ended up happening was, is he just didn't like the word time blocking. So we called it scheduling. And there we go. You know, you get.
Yep, we just need different relationships with words. I'm fine with testing. I test and pilot all the time. Collect data as a researcher and scholar. I love data. So I'll just reframe. One of my other mantras coming back to that is reframe your thinking to reclaim your life. One of the tools that I'll be sharing is one that I guarantee no one joining us will have ever seen before. And it is a tool that helps me question my thinking all the time. Because when we change what we see and how we're thinking, we can totally shift the feelings and vibrations that we have energetically in our bodies, as well as what we manifest and put out there into the world. So I think that learning to see differently and reframe our thinking allows us to reclaim our life. And that failure is a great example of that, right?
Yep.
Reframe and that is piloting and testing, data collection.
Yep. Yep. Pilot pivot. That's what I kind of my life.
I like to say shift happens.
Doesn't it?
That's another one of my mantras. Shift happens.
No kidding. Well, one of my favorite things to babble on about, and anyone who's watching my videos probably heard about like 8,000 times, is the whole reticular activation system in our brains.
Yes.
You know, and I'm working on a new book called You've Gone Brain Blind. And that's how I look at most people. They're not that they're sleepwalking. It's not that they're not they're not interested. It's not that they don't want something, but they've got all these different layers of, you know, traumas or beliefs or assumptions or self-sabotaging behaviors. And it just creates like this layering of blindfold that we put on ourselves. And through the process that you're going to be talking about at the Take Charge Challenge, by the way, it's September 29th to October the 1st, for those of you who are just joining, you know, I think you're going to have a really big impact on people who have these, to kind of pull away some of these blindfolds that we have and to think beyond them, and to see that what we're really looking for is actually right here, but we just haven't trained our brains to look for it. You know, it's like that whole idea of when I got pregnant, you know, the first time, I'm like, you know, if you find out you're pregnant, you're all happy. Well, I was happy anyway. Not everyone's happy when they find out. They're like, oh no. I was like, oh yeah. And so you look outside and you're like, oh my God, like everyone's pregnant. And they're like, boom, like 9 months pregnant all of a sudden. Like people that you know, it just wasn't something you noticed before because you didn't tell your brain that that was relevant information, you know? So when you start feeding it, like, you know, this is my dream, and you define the dream and you start saying, okay, I can get that, and I'm moving towards that. Your brain's like, oh, that's what you want me to look for. Okay. My bad. But, and now it starts, you start seeing these things, you know, it's like, and they think it's magic. They're like, Rebecca, it was magic. I made like 3 sales in 3 weeks and I haven't had a sale in 9 months. And I'm like,
You're like, no, you have the remote control. You just have to tune it in. Your RAS is right back here. I actually wrote a really fun article on your reticular activating system for a Modern Gladiator magazine. So if you Google Dr. J Modern Gladiator magazine, Break On Through, it's all about the RAS and how to, inspired by the Doors song, Break On Through to the Other Side of Self-Doubt. So kind of fun.
That's awesome.
Fun little article there.
Yeah, that's awesome. So here's another question I have for you, because I know you have a beautiful little girl and I have far too many kids. How do you teach purpose to the younger generation?
Oh, that's such a wonderful question. I think it's really interesting. I had the honor of speaking to Oprah about this, and she shared this fascinating story, right? That we teach that you have to find what you love and do what you love. Mm-hmm. And she says, that's not true. Like for her story, you work darn hard and then you get to do a little more of what you love. And when I look mm-hmm. back at my own career, it was a lot of hard work. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think if you stay the course, things get so much easier. So what used to take me 3 hours now takes me 30 minutes. So it is a lot easier. And so I think it's really important to teach grit and tenacity to young mm-hmm. kids. One of the things that I teach my daughter all the time, we have a silly song. It goes, I do things I hate with joy, hate with joy, hate with joy. And hate's actually a bad word in our house and we don't use it, but we do for that song, right? That it's about how you achieve, right? Mm-hmm. How you get there matters, and doing things with joy will differentiate you. Yeah. I also think it's about asking kids, how do you feel? Like, what makes you feel really good? Right. And when they kids are so much more tuned into their feelings and intuition than we are as adults, right? To your point of brain blind, we've been muting ourselves. And so we have to just ask, what makes you feel delightful? What makes you feel overwhelmed with joy? Mm-hmm. And a lot of times for kids, it's they have passions. They see a lot of the challenges in the world and want to do something to help, whether it's horse rescue, or I mentor a young little girl who is working with the Detroit water system to help test tap water. Kids are very tuned into the challenges that exist in the world. And so I like to have them make just a simple quilt of concerns, like draw a simple grid, and in each quilt square, what are the things that you're most concerned about? And the success of their future is less about finding a degree and career path, which we've higher education's under fire right now for delivering value. And you don't have to look far to see that, right? Whether it's millennials living in their basement, underemployed or unemployed. And so it's less about finding a major and a career and more about constantly seeking problems to solve. And so when they can find problems that they care deeply about solving, they feel that sense of purpose and contribution. I always love, there's a quote by Ron Berger. Let me see if I can actually pull it up on my computer real quick, because this quote, wasn't really prepared to talk about kids, but I could go on and on for, about
kids. Yeah, I kind of threw that little curveball at you. Hey, what do you think about this?
I know. I love this Ron Berger quote, though. So if you give me just a second, it'll be worth
it. Yeah, finding. That's no problem. You know, and then I'll just sort of fill it in. Okay, no, go ahead.
If you I found it. So he writes, this is from a book called An Ethic of Excellence. So my school that I founded is an expeditionary learning school. So we're very founded on the principles of constructivist and social learning theories. And he writes, I believe that the work of excellence is transformational. Once an individual, I'm adapting, actually, I believe the book says child, but I use it as individual because it applies to us as adults too. So for those of you who are adults watching, I invite you to think about this for yourself. Once an individual sees that he or she is capable of excellence, that individual is never quite the same. There is a new self-image, a new notion of possibility. There is an appetite for excellence. After individuals have had a taste of excellence, they're never quite satisfied with less. They're always hungry. I literally have goosebumps. Can you see goosebumps? I love that. That is why I do what I do. I love every human being to see the excellence within them. And the same is very true for kids, right? Once you just got to catch them. This is what teachers do best, right? At the beginning of school, they catch them doing something good and they communicate that to the child and their families. It was actually, this is really sick, but my favorite time of year would be first week of school. Hi, is this Mrs. Mountain? Do you have a moment? Is now a good time? Right? And while you're freaking out, I'm getting ready to tell you the most amazing thing about your son. And I just love that moment of scaring the parent to death and then say, just raving, like on and on raving about their child for a solid 2 to 5 minutes. And helping kids see that they're extraordinary. Like just last night, I actually had cuddled up my daughter. She was struggling with something. And I just said, honey, if I told you how proud I am of you, I see you checking your work. I was like, I spent a lot of time with fifth graders. You check your work more than any fifth grader I've ever seen. You never give up. If a friend needs help, you're willing to stay on that Zoom meeting longer and go through your lunch break. It makes my heart so happy seeing you care so much. And you just see kids sit a little bit taller. Yeah. The legacy statement that I'm going to teach at the Take Charge Challenge was actually inspired doing this with kids. Their power statement.
Oh,
so
really?
I'll be, thanks to your inspiration, I'll be sure that I translate how to do that with kids during the session also, because there's nothing I love more than giving kids that power statement framework and watching them sit just a little taller as they vision a new self, right? Mm-hmm. And we all need opportunities to reinvent ourselves regularly. And that's a program I'm super excited to be launching next month. It's called Reinvent. So very, very exciting stuff coming down the pipe around designing your best life. And I like to call it being an architect of a life that transcends the ordinary, right? We're not meant to live in the hamster wheel, to hop in, grind, hop out exhausted, hop in, grind, hop out exhausted. I was really good at that. And then I discovered a whole new way of living life. And I'm so thankful. Like, I'm like,
yeah.
Transformed. Woo! Yeah.
I know. And I hear you, because I was like on the hamster wheel too. And like of my own doing. I mean, I ran my own company. I couldn't blame anybody else for my hamster wheel.
Like, I thought that was what I was supposed to be doing.
So
I was
did
like,
I
question it.
It's all about the hustle, right? Now I'm gonna sneeze. Hey guys.
Bless you.
There goes another 11 brain cells. But when you can really do work that matters. And I think that's where people get, they hate Mondays, they hate their job, they're completely disengaged, is because they don't believe that what they do matters, you know. And I teach people who, you know, upper echelons of organizations, and I'm like, okay, not only do you have to make it feel that your work matters, you're going to make everyone else feel that their contribution to this greater goal actually matters, and it helps them achieve their dream. And when you can piece those things together, you don't have to worry about getting followers. Like, they just follow you. They just end up behind you. They just kind of, you turn around, you're like, oh, hello.
But it's, and everyone matters, right? Like, I love, there's a gentleman named Taxi Terry who his story was so brilliant. I just loved it. He had picked up a gentleman, and he was out in, like, the gentleman who was the executive he was driving for described him as like this tattered plaid shirt, torn cut off jeans. He was like, should I wait for the next cab? Thinking, you know, there's probably like a spring gonna tear my slacks, and all the stories that he'd made up from as he unpacked his bias. And this gentleman had said, you know, sir, there is the most beautiful waterfall or water monument right around the corner on the way to your hotel. Would you mind if I took you there just to take a picture so you can see part of our beautiful city? Of course, no additional charge. And drove him there. He says, sure, they go. Delightful gentleman. At the stop, he said, would you mind if we exchange business cards? Exchanges the card, said, if you need anything while you're here, please don't hesitate to contact me. Later that year, received a Christmas card from him. I think it's so often, it's easy for us to think that what we do doesn't matter, right? Mm-hmm. I've been recently in a conversation with someone who is a big rig driver. And I thought, you know, it's easy to get behind the wheel for hours and hours. And I said, you are pivotal for our entire United States economy.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you are instrumental. And sometimes it's just us choosing to matter, right? Mm-hmm. And recognizing what are the things we all have, especially now with COVID, right? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of ups and downs, and there's times where even I'm like, does it really matter? And I have to call that within myself, right? Generate the I matter to create that motivation for myself.
Yep.
I think that is so important right now.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I love what you say about you create that motivation for yourself. Mm-hmm. We can't depend on other people to motivate us. We can't depend on other people to appreciate us. Yes, that's a bonus and that's great. But if we appreciate ourselves because what we do matters, like that needs to be enough. So
especially with leaders, right? Like as someone who loves training leaders, and that's become my niche right now, I love John Maxwell talks about a leader's responsibility is to help others see their worth and potential. Awesome. Mm. Not everyone has that leader, right? When that leader, when we don't feel worth and potential within ourselves, it's very difficult to call that out with others. Yeah. And I also am a big believer that we're all leaders. We all lead the most difficult person on the planet every single day. And that's us, right? So I have actually, my dissertation research was on leading in a culture of innovation and change. And I have a model of leadership called SOL. It's actually called the Empowered Leadership Model, but I chose the words SOL as the letters, because if you're a leader, you are out of luck. It just, it's funny because I was nominated in fourth grade as a leader to go to the state capitol for my school. And I look back at my life and I'm like, dang, you can never turn that off. Like it is just something you're kind of in some ways born with, but that we all lead ourselves. Some of us lead others and some of us lead leaders. And so it's kind of this nested leadership model. But I will say, like, every one of us is a leader. You're leading your life and our lives inspire others. So when we lead our best lives, it's contagious, right? It's just like gratitude and random acts of kindness that when you do those things, it has a very strong ripple effect on those around us. And then next thing you know, you've up-leveled your circles of influence and all of the people who are around you have the benefit of that. And then they're inspiring you. And it's kind of the make your day life.
Yeah, exactly. And make everyone else's day. And the smallest things that can matter, like you talk about random acts of kindness, like it big acts, small acts, as long as you act. Now that's the thing, right? To do something with the life that you're giving us, big or small. So, well, you know, Dr. J, I am super looking forward to listening to your presentation during the Take Charge Summit, Take Charge Challenge. Guys, if you're listening, I will be putting the link in the comments. You can click there to get your ticket. It's only $47 to get in, but if you want to upgrade to VIP for $147, gives you all of the recordings for all 12 coaches who are like Dr. J, absolutely operating at the top of their league. But you also get a whole bunch of books. You get my book, Think Again, My 7-Stage Journey from Self-Sabotage to Success, and a whole bunch of other books that you can only get by joining in and the Take Charge Challenge. So thank you, Dr. J. I really appreciate you taking the time out of your very busy day to share with us. Do you have any final thoughts that you want to share with my listeners before we wrap up the interview?
I would just say, just know that you have brilliance within you waiting to be revealed, and it is your time. Architect a life that transcends the ordinary. This is your life. You get one shot. Let's do it. So thank you so much, Rebecca. It's wonderful to be here with your audience and your followers. Sending you all loads of love. Mwah! Go out and shine love and light into the world.
Awesome. You too. Thanks, Dr. J.
Bye-bye.